flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from Brennan's in the French Quarter, you're listening to Grant and Danny on the Fan, our final stretch from Nolens as we take you up to 6:30 tonight back home in the DMV. We got a flight to catch soon after we are off the air, so we're pleased to chat with Jay Gruden coming up in just a minute. We're brought to you today by our friends, the law firm Condori and Marad.
Love those guys. I want to tell you that as Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. It's an exclusive sponsor of our show. The law firm of Condori and Marad can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Jay Gruden knows a thing or two about coaching at the Superdome in New Orleans. It was just a handful of years ago that I was down here watching a Jay Gruden-led Washington team playing the Saints. He joins us every Monday on the Fan.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford Chantilly, and Fairfax, your F-150. Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, the Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage, see and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
Jay, you won't be surprised to hear that, I guess, with the Saints at 5-9, the atmosphere at the Superdome was not at the peak of its powers, but it was still awesome.
Still fun.
Ton of burgundy and gold wearing fans, a lot of energy, and very, very loud.
It's a great place to play. One of my favorite places to play. Always entertaining to look up there in the stands and see what you're going to – you never know what you're going to get up there.
What did you make of and how do you make sense of yesterday? Washington was up 17-0 in the third quarter. They had the game, you know, in their hands and a chance to put it away with the ball deep in New Orleans territory in the fourth, and then they ended up needing a two-point conversion to get a win.
Yeah, it was an odd game. I never felt like Washington was threatened until the last second of the game. You know, I just felt like the Commanders were in total control of the game and missed a couple opportunities to Terry deep shots that would have easily sealed the deal. Then the shot to De'Ami Brown with the penalty called back and then the missed field goal. And next thing you know, you're holding on to your hat, trying to stop them on a two-point play. Just a weird game. And you have a lot of those at that building for some reason.
So, Jay, if they'd turned it over a couple different times or there'd been some sort of like crazy special teams or defensive score, it would sit better with me. But the fact that they couldn't run the ball at all against a defense that came in just awful, quite frankly, at stopping the run, that's the part that's got me scratching my head and a bit concerned. What were your thoughts there on Washington's run game and what wasn't working?
Yeah, that's what surprised me the most about the game was a lack of ability to find some holes. Brian Robinson Jr.'s only 20-yard gain came on it was a backward screen pass. Everything between the tackles was pretty much bottled up, and then they tried to bounce it outside and point of attack. They set the edges very good at New Orleans, and there was nowhere to go. But I can't put my finger. I know Tyler missed the game at center. That had a little bit to do with it, but you know, I think Bates had probably his worst game. I saw him blocking. He had his worst game, and then you know, it's just a combination of a lot of things in the running game. I can't put my finger on it either.
How about the 8 sacks? I have to imagine not having Biotis, who calls things out, is important. I know talking to you in the past about significance of a center and them playing quarterback on the O-line can be a huge deal. But, I mean, how much would you say that was the issue? Did you notice what I did, which I thought Jaden held the ball longer than he has much of the season? Like, what do you attribute to the 8 sacks?
Yeah, I think 2 or 3 of them, he was outside the pocket, ran out of bounds for a loss of 1 or a yard. So, you know, if you don't gain a yard.
Two of them that were losses of 0.
There's at least 2 of those, and I think another one he ran out for a loss of 2. So that's 3 sacks right there. One was a blown protection. I think the nickel came in untouched. Other than that, I think you're right. I think he did kind of hold on the ball a little bit too long from time to time. And in New Orleans, Cameron Jordan, the rest of those guys, they did a pretty good job. Gander Granderson, he's been doing it for a while. And this gave, you know, a couple of TE stunts that they didn't pick up very well. You know, there's a lot of reasons for it.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. What did you see against Tennessee that maybe wasn't working or didn't happen against New Orleans? Because now I'm looking at it, Jay, 2 of their last 3 games, and there's a bye week in between there, obviously, in terms of the calendar, but they've kind of not really looked great on offense. Now Tennessee sort of looks like the outlier. What did you see there versus what you see maybe in that Dallas game and then this one yesterday?
Well, Tennessee, they were in total control of the game from a down and distance standpoint. You know, remember they converted like 3 third ones. That's all they had on third down. Those are easy for them. And then you're getting the second and long and third down and medium and all that stuff where you're trying to get guys down the field a little bit further, and that takes time, and they couldn't hold up for whatever reason. Guys weren't really getting open. You know, Jaden missed a couple shots to Terry late. One Terry might have dropped. One was overthrown. The other one was underthrown. And next thing you know, it's you're holding on for life. But it wasn't their sharpest game offensively. Obviously, running the ball, I think, was the biggest reason. You know, I think B-Rob had 20 carries for 60 yards, and that one catch for 20 yards, they counted as a run. That's like 2.5 yards a carry. That's not good enough. And Jaden did some good things with his legs, scrambling a couple times. He had like 60 yards rushing. But I think the whole offense really is predicated on first, second down, their ability to run the ball between the tackles, physicality, getting themselves in 3rd and 2 and 3, and that just didn't happen.
55 defensive plays. Marshawn Lattimore, in his debut, played 53 of them. Mike Sanders still on the outside, 50 of them. And then Noah Igbinoghene in the nickel, 38 of them. Only 3 snaps for Benjamin St. Juste, who ended up having a key penalty on his only snap in the second half. I guess a couple of parter here on the corner room. What'd you think of Lattimore's first game? He really wasn't tested or targeted at all. And then what'd you think of the decision to go with the rookie who had a pick for the second time this year, Sanders still, who was drafted to play nickel, but outside over St. Juste, the veteran?
Yeah, I really like what he's done outside. You know, I think I mentioned earlier when they do get Lattimore, I think they're going to have a tough decision. They made it. He's got good ball skills. He's not very big, but he's got good feet. He's always in good position, it seems like, and he's a good tackler. He's a physical guy for his size. So I like the decision. I think he provides a little bit better complimentary to Lattimore because they're going to see it. Lattimore's going to take either A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith, whatever side they line up on, and then Sanistrill's going to be on the other one. So I think that's going to help him out a lot to bring a safety down and help stop Saquon in the running game. So when they do play single safety, I think we'll be able to hold up with, you know, Lattimore and Sanistrill out there on those 2 good wideouts.
Did you ever have a guy like that as when you were coaching with, even as an OC, just on the roster, a cornerback that was just in his prime that could really negate some things like that to give that defensive coordinator that much more option?
Yeah, I played coached against Darrell Revis when he was at New England. I was at Cincinnati. We didn't throw to him very often unless A.J. Green was over there. But, yeah, there's a lot of Champ Bailey against him. He was a tough one. There's been some good ones that, you know, if it's man-to-man, you tell your quarterback you're going to pick a side. Don't pick that guy's side. Pick the other
side. Pick a different side.
You know, yeah, pick a different one. Or you go after a rookie cornerback instead. Even if a good receiver's on one side, you're going to go after the rookie. So, yeah, there's definitely matchup issues that you have. And you can see that with New Orleans. I saw the quarterbacks looking at Lattimore's side just for a second, and then he'd get off of him real quick and go to his progressions and go somewhere else. So that's a huge thing to have moving into these last 3 games, especially when you got the likes of A.J. Brown coming to town and obviously CeeDee Lamb later.
With Noah Brown out, we got to see what they thought about, you know, the fill-ins in the wide receiver room, getting Jamison Crowder back. He played more than Luke McCaffrey did, 21 snaps to 12 snaps. It was a lot of McLaurin, 70 snaps out of 78. Deami Brown, 61 out of 78. And then the third guy was pretty obviously Olamide Zaccheaus, who had 38 reps as well. What'd you think of kind of how they handled post-Noah Brown wide receiver?
Yeah, I'm a little worried about that moving forward, especially against Philly with the corners that they have. It's going to be tough. You know, I think Deami Brown's doing some good things. He had a big catch. It was called back, but he's doing a little bit better. I think Zacchaeus is okay. Obviously, Jamison Crowder is not bad. I'm a little concerned about Luke's size and separation ability. We need another guy that can get some separation somewhere. I'm still not very confident in that happening on a consistent basis. Every now and then, maybe zone coverage, not too worried about it. They'll find the zones, high-low linebacker, high-low corner, whatever it might be. But I'm worried about the third down and seven, eight, sixes, tight man-to-man. Pressure looks on Jaden. Who's going to get open other than Terry? I'm not sure.
Jake Gruden with us here on G&D. Another opportunity here for Ben Sinnott. Had one catch, but he's a second-round pick. If this was just some fifth-round flyer, you know, I wouldn't necessarily care as much, but second-rounder. They don't really seem to trust an awful lot in this offense. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, well, now that Zach's hurt, I think you'll see more of them, obviously. Still, you know, with Bates and Snott, I think it's going to be that's the key to those guys playing. You know, they're short receiver now, Noah being out, and now they're short of tight end with Zach being out. So I'm not sure what personnel groupings they're going to use to attack Philadelphia, and if they're going to try to be in two tight end, two receiver sets, or one tight end, three receiver sets, it's going to be a challenge for Cliff moving forward. I think their strength was their ability to do a lot of multiple different things, but now I think they're relegated pretty much to one tight end, three receivers, and that tight end, Bates, is really not a threat in the passing game, and Sinnott needs to step up. He needs to step up in a big way these last 3 weeks for Washington to have a chance to get some of these defenses.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny, his Monday appointment live on the Fan after a 2019 Commanders win over the Saints. Jay, I remember Santana Moss, I think it was with Kyle, though, before you were here calling plays, would run a lot of successful goal line sprint outs where the whole formation, everybody's rolling toward the sideline, and he would run that little out and kind of get there, make a catch up against the chalk. But my God, do I hate that play. You'll have to explain to me why it's like people love it. But like you cut the field in half already. There's only like it's very, very minute in terms of the options you're giving yourself. I don't know. I just think you're bringing everyone into one area. It's bang, bang. It's a small window. You got to catch it. The toe tap. Like, I can't stand it. When they started running that, immediately I thought, oh, they're going to win. Like, what is your thought on that play?
You did not see the second part of the play, did you?
No.
Do you remember the catch by Dwight Clark?
The back of the end zone?
That was Q8. It's called Q8. You cut off the front side defensive end, either with your fullback or your tight end. Quarterback rolls outside. Your number two receiver pushes up, runs a little 5-yard out route to the front pylon. Your outside guy runs a back of the end zone and whips it back if he doesn't get it. And the guy on the front pylon, if he doesn't get it, he pushes it back up the field and then comes back to the front pylon. So you have really three or four different options on that play. Gets the quarterback out of the pocket. I understand what you're saying. You limit that side of the field, but it's a pretty good route, and it's been run for many, many years. What's his name, the quarterback, what's else, Spencer Rattler, if he would open his damn eyes, the guy in the back of the end zone, there's nobody on him. They blew the coverage. A corner came off on the out route, and he left his receiver alone.
So he had an open option. Yeah, I mean, it just seemed to me, I
oh,
guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll have to go back and
technically,
watch it.
Technically, right. It's a two-man route, but those two guys could do two different things. That makes sense?
Yeah, totally.
The quick out could turn into an out and up back, and then the outside guy can run up end line and then rip it back to the back corner of the end zone. So you have a couple options. It's good to get the quarterback out of the pocket. There's so many different things defense do with cover zero, cover eight, drop eight. You know, sometimes it's very simple for a quarterback to get out there. I kind of with you on it. Last play of the game, got to have it. 2-point conversion to win it. That's a little nerve-wracking for me, but other than that, it's a bit of a good play for a long, long time.
You know what play I love, and it's just a – you know, it's easy to say this because you don't have to be at the press conference answering the questions, but an empty quarterback draw in that spot, like the 2-point conversion play, I just think that's so unusual.
Like the one we ran against the Cowboys
exactly.
Monday Night Football,
right.
Colt McCoy?
Yep. Yes, sir.
That's a good one. Unless they blitz you there, Grant, if they cover zero you and blitz you, you don't have enough blockers and you're going to lose your quarterback's leg and then you get fired.
Is there anything you can do? Like, so the,
you got to have a can.
Dead.
You can't run it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a can. You got a few plays called quarterback draw, can it with a pass. Can it with Q8. How about that, Grant?
All right, we can do that as long as – so I've not seen the All-22, but watching – this is just being live. We had great seats. We were, you know, probably the 15-yard line. It seemed to me like it was, I'm sure there are reads, but like maybe it was just the quarterback's preference. I think from the moment he got the ball, it was that little bang out route. That was what he was looking at. And there was nothing else. But if there were more options,
A lot of times when you rep that play in practice, you draw it up and you have the nickel play and inside leverage and you throw it to the guy in the front pile. That's easy. All right, nice throw. You know, I like to rep it sometimes where that guy, the first one's taken away. Now what are you going to do? You got to work the back end line and then finish to the guy coming out and up, back down to the front pylon. Those are the fun ones I like to rep. But, yeah, obviously Spencer hasn't had many reps at that play. That's a play that's been in football for Bill Walsh invented that one a long time ago.
Jay, late in that game before that touchdown we're talking about, Commanders face a fourth down chance either to try to kick that long field goal, which they opted for, or a punt.
54
yards.
Yeah,
I didn't hate going for the field goal there because that kind of goes with their personality. Let's try to just win this thing. Field goal wins it, right? Pretty much right there. It's academic, but they don't get it. What did you think of that call in real time? Obviously, after the fact, it didn't work, so you know New Orleans had a chance to win. But what did you make of that call in the moment?
I thought it was good. They tried to draw to B-Rob, but he got 7 yards to put him in field goal range. I thought that was a decent call as well. The only thing, maybe you want to spread him out and try to get a little bit further past, you know, down the field a little bit, or let Jaden scramble for some yards. But he's been sacked 8 times already, so maybe draw is probably the best call. And you got to expect a kicker nowadays in 2024 to make a 52-yard field goal. They all make them, you know, other than kickers here. And kicker in Philadelphia has been struggling all year. And obviously, the kid at Baltimore Tucker's been struggling a little bit, but the majority of these kickers are routine chip shots nowadays for these kickers. I don't fault the call at all.
Yeah, so I'm with you actually. I think I kicked that. And Greg Joseph was known for having a huge leg in Minnesota. That was kind of his calling card. And I'm sure it was the first time all year they've had a guy with a giant leg. Quinn's like, oh, let's take advantage of this. My only thought is he had already missed a kick in the game. Now, he got a reprieve on it because the clock had hit zero, whatever that weird thing was. But he had already missed that kick. He's been on the team for 8 minutes. Like, you'd have to tell me the mindset of a coach. I guess if you're here, you're just one of us. Like, they do this brotherhood bit. He's not in the brotherhood. He's been here for 2 hours. He doesn't know anybody on the team. He was on the practice squad as of Friday or Saturday or whatever. And then he was elevated because there's backup. It was really the third kicker they've used this year was hurt. So I'm not going to coach as if I've got, you know, the best kicker in the league when I got a guy who's on his fourth team this year in the NFL. They just put a lot of confidence in him. I was surprised by that over Tress pins him at the 8, and now a rookie quarterback with 2 minutes to go and one timeout has to go 90 yards.
Yeah, no, there's no fault in your decision right there. That's a good one. I just, you know, Greg's been in league a long time, has had a history of a big leg, but you got a new holder, he's got a new snapper, he hadn't been with them, you know, other than pregame warm-up, and, you know, it's just a tough call. You're trying to seal a deal. I would like to think that if he would have punted and he shanked it, you guys would have been yelled at. I don't know. A lot of other things going through his coach's mind, but I just think 53, 58-yard, 57-yarder, maybe punt it, but 53 is not that hard for kickers nowadays, in my opinion.
It's like the new 46 or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Got to make that, Greg. I mean, big leg. Now I think he's got a big belly as well. I think he's got to get a little better shape for the stretch run. Are the kickers coming back next week?
He will not be here next week, it sounds like. Zane Gonzalez is supposed to kick.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, a lot of us after New Orleans need a little bit of a diet here, Jay.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about us.
Yeah, did you mean me?
We've had a whale of a go over here eating food.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you.
What'd you make the earlier fourth down decision? So I loved it. Just the end up being that Jaden Daniels jump over everybody and, you know, get the first down by a quarter of a millimeter. But I loved that call. It's easy for me to say because I don't have to face the podium. But what were your thoughts there?
They've been so good on fourth down, and Jaden's so good with his ability to keep it and make the right decision, reading the ends or whatever they're reading. I'd go for it too, Jaden, anytime. I don't, you know, it's different than the tush push. It's a little bit more risky because you're going a little bit more lateral and then sticking your foot up the ground, up the field to get the first down. But I would trust Jaden to get the fourth and ones. This is why you got him at number two in the draft.
All right, let's go around the league before we let you go. Jay Gruden with us on Grant and Danny, weekly Monday appointment on the show. The Broncos got a big win to get to 9-5 as well. They beat the 6-8 Colts. Did you see the trick play in that game that backfired? They tried a double pass, and the pass back to Anthony Richardson, I think he was going to take off with blockers in front of him, was picked off and taken back for a touchdown for 50 yards. Trick plays when they don't work, like the one the Saints ran, is about as pretty as it gets for a touchdown. Man, is it ugly the other way, though, huh?
You're exactly right, man. That's the risk you take. Sometimes you got the risk reward portion. You know, when you have a young quarterback like the Saints had, I think the risk is the risk is not as bad as the reward. You got to try to figure out a way to get a big play. You know, Indianapolis, you know, that was a close game at the time, and that was risky. That's a tough call. That play's been run for a long time too. Colleges used to run that where they throw it back to the quarterback and have blockers out in front on the screen pass. But you know, the receiver's got to have some kind of awareness and see the guy right there, for God's sakes, too. So I don't know, man. I like trick plays, but I was probably a little more conservative when I got the job here because we didn't really have the guys that could throw it. Like Cincinnati, when I had Muhammad Sanu, he could really let it rip. Here, we didn't really have anybody. Pierre couldn't really throw it, and Deshaun couldn't throw it. So I was a little bit more limited in my trickery.
Detroit's really beat up here, Jay. I actually thought this would kind of come back to bite them before now. And they're still really good. They're still a legit contender, obviously, but all the injuries on defense. Buffalo and combined 90 points in that game. Impressive for Detroit to kind of hang with them. But what do you make of the Lions now as they kind of get down to the stretch here in the season?
Oh, man, it's scary. They are really depleted. And now they lost Montgomery as well on offense, and he's a big part of that offense, obviously, as well. So, yeah, it's a big concern moving forward. You know, I think Philadelphia right now is the cream of the crop in the NFC with their ability to play defense and run the ball and throw the ball. I think by far they're the best team. But, you know, Jared Goff and Montrose, they're still going to be and Gibbs, they're still going to be quite the contenders. But you got to be able to stop people in critical situations to move on in the playoffs.
How about Mike Evans? The Bucs hung 40 on the Chargers.
What a player he is.
They scored 27 unanswered, dating back to the end of the half, right before halftime. But Mike Evans yesterday, 9 for 160 and 2 touchdowns. He's the first receiver ever the last 10 years to start his career with 1,000-yard seasons. But he's not slowing down, man. I mean, this is now a guy who's 30-plus, and you wouldn't know it. He's awesome.
He's an incredible player, and Baker's throwing the ball extremely well. You know, and he had the one turnover, but the Bucs are legit now. I mean, they can play a little bit of defense, too, and Baker is streaky. If he gets on these hot streaks with Mike Evans, and they got two really good backs, Rashad White and Bucky Irving, these guys are dangerous now. If you're going to win the division, have a home game as well, and then, you know, maybe be matched up at Philadelphia or against Detroit, who's all depleted on defense, I don't know how Detroit's going to stop Tampa Bay either. So, man, I love what Tampa Bay is doing on Todd Bowles.
9th most receiving touchdowns ever, Mike Evans. Done it in 11 years. Most of the guys ahead of him did it for, you know, 14, 15, 16 seasons. It really is unbelievable. Pittsburgh was the second best team by a long shot against Philadelphia. I just kind of thought throughout the year I've been going, man, Mike Tomlin is really good at this whole coaching thing, getting, you know, chicken salad out of you-know-what in a lot of cases. But Russell Wilson was playing really well. The offenses look good. But they got beat pretty good by Philadelphia in this one. How good is Pittsburgh right now this minute?
Well, without Pickens, they're not very good. They don't have that big play ability. That kills them. Austin isn't really the guy that can contort his body and make those plays because those contested catches. So where are they going to get their chunk yards from? And now you can load up the box and stop Najee Harris. And it's just tough. It's tough sledding for the offense unless you get some big plays. So, yeah, they're going to struggle moving forward. Defensively, they're okay. TJ hurt his ankle, looks like. But, yeah, I mean, you don't get any big plays. You're really not a hard team to stop.
Jay Gruden every single Monday with us on Grant and Danny at 5 o'clock. Jay, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Have fun in New Orleans.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, we're hopping on the plane to head on back now. Jay's breakdown against every week, I should say, about the opponent and about Washington, exclusively here at 5 o'clock on The Fan.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
Congrats to caller number 10 right now. At 800-636-1067, you are winning 2 tickets to see the Capitals January 4th against the New York Rangers. For tickets and the complete cap schedule, thefandc.com/contests, courtesy of the Washington Capitals. We're taking you up to 6:30, about an hour from now, as we wind down our 4-plus days in New Orleans. It has been a blast. You're locked into The Fan. Welcome back to New Orleans and to Brennan's in the French Quarter. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're taking you up to 6:30 this evening at the top of the hour. Don't forget about elements of the game that maybe didn't get enough attention that we haven't talked a whole lot about. We'll also give you a Caps power play as well. But as we're sitting here, hopefully you cannot tell, and we're being professionals, our energy is going more.
It's Warren Sapp right
and
now.
And more. And we are just running into a wall. And the reason, if I could say this behind the scenes, so we're doing our show from Brennan's. We have been fed since the moment we sat down.
Yep.
And it's just increasingly now, the food. So we're more and more stuffed. I honestly don't know how I'm going to stand up or like get to an airplane.
Yeah, we got a home alone for this flight, man. I don't know.
But the day started with Danny telling us how awful he feels.
Yep.
He's like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I could do this again today. And then every time I look over, he's got a plate of like the heaviest food that's ever been.
More of it. Again, I'm a sheep. I'm a disgusting sow that can't say no. And there's a reason that I look like I do. Like, what doesn't stop?
I think you were successful. Both of us so far have not bit into what looks like
I had some.
The best chicken sandwich.
It's delicious.
I've ever seen. So I want to get some details on what we've been served today specifically.
You're going to want these details, by the way, pal.
And so I am bringing in the man, the myth, the legend, our buddy Christian.
There he is.
Who makes this trip possible in New Orleans. He is the GM here at Brennan's. I don't want to pump your tires in front of you too hard, but I got to tell you, you've made this trip so memorable and fun, and these guys had never been to New Orleans and are raving about it. Danny and I now multiple times wine and dine and still amazed by just how cool this is and how kind you are to us. We always say, people are like, so who is this Christian guy? And we're like, he is a person that we do absolutely nothing for.
We can't help him.
We can't do anything for I'd love to. I'm going to send you a Christmas card, but I got nothing else. And yet you give us our best experience.
First class every time.
I think you guys underestimate the way you bring joy to different listeners. And so for me, listening to you all four of you, is the break I need before I go to work. Before I deal with the humanity, when I get to work, you all are the break. And then, you know, whether it's about sports and just kind of catching up on something that is a hobby of mine, or God forbid I happen to luck into a conversation about food, I almost, at this point, I have to pull the car over because I'm just not sure what's going to come out of either of your mouth, but especially you, Grant. I just like, and he's out on milkshakes.
I've never met
a man of milkshakes. Like, I don't understand.
What have we eaten today?
Do you really want to know?
Yeah, I think the people need to know.
Well, you got to. So, we've been concocting this, my friend.
Yeah. So,
wait.
Oh, yeah.
Did we just get you? Okay.
So, the first dish you had was grits and griots.
Yeah.
And I told you that was braised pork, and you just crushed it.
Fantastic.
You said, this is fantastic.
Yeah. I thought it was beef.
No, that's pork.
So, I made the mistake. I thought it was a beef dish. That's my fault.
That was a 10 out of 10. I scooped up every bit of that.
Good. That was pork cheeks.
So Maurice cheeks.
That was cheeks.
You just ate pig face.
You ate pig face.
No way.
You did.
Actually, you ate pig face twice today.
What else was pig face?
You had, in the red beans, you had pig lips.
Oh, boy. I don't know how I feel about that. Oh, well, I'm glad you didn't tell me that. I'm so stupid because the last time we came to New Orleans, and I kind of thought that was like, it did not even cross my mind that anything could have been something else. Did you guys know this?
No, they did not know.
They ate it too.
Yeah, of course, we all did. I needed them to not know because I felt like they might have betrayed it. Because Ryan would have just done it's a football bit and hovered over you.
I haven't even thought about it since I sat down today. On the last day, I ate rabbit.
Yes.
And you didn't tell me I ate rabbit.
Yeah, you said it was delicious, the best chicken you ever had. And Danny and I were laughing, and then it was like, well, that's rabbit.
It was tremendous.
Yep.
I have never eaten rabbit since. I don't know that I'll eat rabbit again if I know it's rabbit. But my God, was it good.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
And so were the pig lips.
The pig lips were kind of silly.
Yeah.
They were a little bit.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, they were great.
And there's.
And then you had liver. You had pig liver.
No.
You sure did.
What was pig liver?
The boudin balls was pork sausage that includes pig liver and the rice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's disgusting. They were good, though.
It's not disgusting. I just said it's good.
They didn't taste disgusting, but the fact that I have consumed it is disgusting.
What's sad about today is we couldn't
Let me be clear.
We couldn't get all the video stuff up. There's a bunch of tech things behind the scenes. That's not important. The reason we're cackling, like we just saw Dumb and Dumber for the first time in the 90s, is the look on your face as it melted away. The shock and horror is so real. And you you're so baffled.
No, I'm going to tell you what it is.
But it was good.
How could your face have been so good?
Here's what it is. I am so stupid that it never crossed my mind. You did this 5 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, and we tripled it this time.
And I didn't even think for 1 second to be on alert. It's almost like I got punked twice by Ashton Kutcher.
You didn't get punked. You said, I like to eat.
It was great.
I like good New Orleans food. So I just brought you different ingredients.
I just should have been on alert of, like when you said what it was, I didn't think in my mind, oh, this is definitely pig liver. I just thought it was exactly what you said it was.
And it was.
Kind of.
You just didn't say specifically what part of the pork.
Like, at no time did you ask, is this pig liver? Right. And had you, he would have had to say yes.
That's a good truth-telling point.
Yeah.
Everything we tasted was fantastic, including, by the way, the meal you guys cooked at your house last night with the family.
Well, that was incredible.
I don't know if I can call it the best thing I've eaten here, but it's not worse than anything I've eaten here. The shrimp stuffing.
Barbecued shrimp stuffing.
Oh, my God.
Mm.
Like a Thanksgiving.
I needed some time alone with that
guy. It will be a first round.
Like we're together now.
Yeah.
I texted my wife and said, honey, I got news for you.
I thought it was weird.
Ryan, relationship, we're together?
Yeah.
Or we're not sure.
We're getting matching bracelets and everything.
Yeah. You guys are going to be kicking it every day. I thought it was weird that Danny went and locked himself in the bathroom and turned the lights off at one point.
I'm okay with that.
That was strange. Yeah.
I thought it was the Barry White. I didn't mind the lights. It was when Barry White came on that got a little.
Like, how'd you even have access to the sound system? Yeah. How did they do that?
How'd you think the guys did? First trip to New Orleans.
No one went to jail, so that's always a very first good place to start. Mm-hmm. I thought for sure I was going to get the call. Hey, Ryan's in jail. Can you help out? But
we only almost broke one $10,000 table.
Always a win.
Yeah. That's a longer story that we'll have to tell probably tomorrow. But the cliff notes would be we're passing a football back and forth on Bourbon Street.
Royal Street.
Getting ready to walk to the Superdome. And Danny's already annoyed that we're playing like with a foam football. And so I see a Commanders fan across the street, and I go to throw it to him. And it's this little stupid foam ball that you can't actually guide it or throw it. It's very like, so it just got up in the air.
He shredded that ball so bad.
The wind took it straight into a store.
Art gallery.
With all $1,000, like a, I can't think of the word of old things that no one wants.
Antique.
Antique store, thank you. And so it's into the antique store, and the guy who runs the antique store was not a fan of mine.
Yeah, I thought it was a Heath Shuler throw right there, the way it kind of sailed off and into the stands.
It went bouncing in and bouncing off things.
It didn't carry. Coming out of your hand, it was high.
The guy was like, hey, man, you just hit my $10,000 table. And I'm like, I am so sorry about that. He's like, but you hit the table. And I'm like, no, I still am sorry.
I continue to be sorry.
What else should I do? You know, like, is it ruined and I need to pay you? Where are we at on this? But what a trip, man. That was a lot of fun.
It's always great having you all down here. It's all the joy, all the energy, all the first times that you all bring. It was great. It was, you know, watching Ryan almost not come to work on two different days.
Yes.
Always a plus.
He barely made it. Which day was his worst day? Was that Saturday?
Saturday. Yeah, we didn't have a show on Saturday. On the tour.
He was banged up.
The Mardi Gras tour almost took him out there.
We're all asking questions about the floats and Mardi Gras. And at one point, we look over and Clary's like doubled over. Yeah, like, yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there. Yeah.
I have a question about the history, but also, where's a good place to vomit?
float looks great, but where are your toilets?
And I don't know what emeritus means.
It's true. What was the guy's title? He was the historian emeritus?
Correct. He has been wrecked. So he has been the king of Carnival, and he's the historian emeritus.
He's like, I am the historian emeritus. You familiar with that?
And I said, yeah, we all are. Ryan, what's emeritus mean? He goes, I have no idea.
But really, where's your bathroom? I know. We had a great time. It was good. We appreciate you.
As always.
And,
thank you.
Can't thank you enough.
Thank you, fellas.
So this is he's like our, you know, people are like, this guy Christian, does he really exist? You've heard his voice.
Real
now.
Person.
Yeah. He really exists. And if people are in New Orleans, they should come check you out at Brennan's.
Anytime. Come down for the Super Bowl. Come down anytime. Just say your friends are Grant and Danny and come on in.
We were watching, by the way, in the courtyard at your restaurant. They were filming a Hulu show.
The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
and you had like 8 Mormon wives from this TV show mm-hmm. and 90 people that work on the show.
That was a huge production. I normally it's not that big when they film things here, but they just kind of kept coming in. I was like, wow, that's a lot of you.
Well, thank you, buddy. It was a great trip.
The best, man. Thank you so much, fellas. Always a pleasure.
The Monday Night Football slate tonight is important to the Commanders. We'll get into that next on G&D. Welcome back. Grant and Danny taking you up to 6:30 on the Fan. 2 games on Monday Night Football we will look at in just a few moments. I will say that for some of the conversation we've had about some of the Jaden Daniels struggles to get rid of the football maybe yesterday where he held onto the ball a little longer, because that has not been an issue all year, it's not something I'm really going to worry much about. I think it was kind of a one-off thing. It has not been the norm. And, yeah, they missed a couple throws down the field he probably wants back. But by and large, I think you're going to take that performance from a rookie quarterback.
Without a doubt.
On the road every time. Not only was he 25 of 31, which is efficient, you know, pretty strong scheme game, decent Jaden Daniels throwing the football game. He drove some balls into some smaller windows underneath, threw for 226 and 2. Thought he was pretty fine, too good as a passer. He was electric as a runner.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be added to the grade, right? That has to be added to the conversation. He had that back-breaking run on 3rd and 14.
That was the play of the game.
That was unreal. That 24-yard run that sets Washington up. You know, you could tell when he got up, by the way, how excited he was. Abnormal for him, but he showed real emotion. Like, he got up and he was kind of flexing and doing the, like, that was his Heisman moment almost,
yep.
You know? And the other one that was just huge was the 4th and 1. I loved Dan Quinn going for it. That was a big boy stones moment from your head coach. And as the quarterback, you got to make him right. He goes for that 4th and 1 in minus territory because you're on his team. Because you're, as I call him, the cheat code. You can't punt there when you got Jaden Daniels and read option pulling mm-hmm. the ball. There should be no way a team stops you from a yard. The Ravens have probably run with Lamar Jackson that same play, that same look, I don't know, 70 times over
right,
the last
a million times, yeah.
8 years and probably converted like 68 of them. And Jaden Daniels, dead in the water, pulls the ball. There's defenders basically all around him, and he goes, well, we're going up and over.
Watch this.
And he just leaps over top of everyone, crashes down on the ground for 1 yard. And I know people didn't like the contact at the end. Like, at some point, you got to play some football. And there are going to be moments where football becomes the priority. And mm-hmm. that was one. That
yep.
was a massive moment in the game you had to have. And I got 5 on it. Jaden Daniels pulled it off.
Yeah, there have to be, and this is kind of my point. It's always the push and pull with contact that's going to be taken, et cetera. To me, the reason, and I think of this as like, you know, how many times do you call a read option, or how many times do you have him carry it, this, that, and the other? There are big boy times. A first down in a must-win situation, that's one. A touchdown, that's one. Now, between the 20s and in the first quarter on a 2nd and 1, please don't cut back in the middle of the field. Please don't let some of the hunters get you down, etc. The coolest part about that 3rd and 14 scramble, by the way, in addition to shaking a gentleman in the secondary out of his yak strap, was the slide at the end. Clean, early slide so nobody could touch him. It was beautiful. It was so athletic and graceful. That's the guy, to me, that makes this whole thing special. I think there were a couple moments where, on one of the Chase Young sacks, which, by the way, I'm fine about. It was great. It was good to see him do that. Where Crowder had kind of bowed out to the left in sort of a mini wheel route. It wasn't a deep wheel, but he had Crowder if he'd been on time there. His eyes didn't take him that way, et cetera. Tried to scramble forward. Ends up with a sack. It felt to me, though, and I actually, you know, I'd love your perspective on this. It didn't feel like a lot of those times there was a ton of options for him when he ended up kind of tucking it and getting hit more than you should have. Or, you know, who, maybe there's some throwaways were available there, but you know, you always worry about that inside the pocket. But I don't know. It didn't feel like he was missing a whole bunch of stuff here and there.
Going to Monday Night Football quickly here, just to look at the 2 games tonight. The bigger one for Washington is a cross-conference game. The 6-7 Atlanta Falcons, I would say, are basically playing for their playoff.
They've got to win out pretty much.
That, or probably if they lose one, they could maybe win the division if the Bucs stumble at some point.
I guess, yeah, you're right.
So if they win tonight, they will be one back of Tampa. Tampa's 8-6 leading the South. They were down at halftime. into the third quarter against the Chargers, and then they outscored them 27-0 to finish the game yesterday. Baker Mayfield threw four touchdowns. They blew out L.A. I think Tampa is the better team, even though Atlanta beat them
Atlanta's
twice.
Atlanta's got them twice, yeah.
But they have the tiebreaker. So if they could catch them, they'd get in. The Falcons are 6-7. A loss tonight, and they're two games back. A win tonight, and they're just one back of Tampa with 3 weeks to go. They don't play each other again, obviously, but they could still catch them. The reason this is interesting for Washington, though, is an Atlanta loss, and they're basically cooked in the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
If they win, they're two back of Washington, which sounds like a lot, except that they play them in 2 weeks. They are the only wild card hopeful behind Washington that will have a head-to-head game with the Commanders, which could mean nothing if Washington handles their business in 2 weeks after they play Philly. But if Atlanta were to come to Washington and upset the Commanders, that would mean they will have at least won those two games. Check on who the Falcons play for me next week in that sandwich game. But oh, the Giants.
Giants.
So, I mean, they could, theoretically, if they beat the Raiders tonight and they beat the Giants, then they're 8-7 coming to Washington. That would mean that they get that win and they're 9-7 over Washington. And if the Commanders lost to the Eagles, they'd both be 9-7 going into the final game of the year, and Atlanta would have the tiebreaker.
Right, and that's why before the season started, I picked Atlanta to win the division. Not because I thought they were precipitously better than Tampa Bay or otherwise. It was because the end of the season schedule for them is as soft as wet tissue paper, right? You close with Raiders, Giants. I didn't think Washington would be particularly good, so
right.
Change that variable. But Panthers, that's their final four.
Who are playing a lot better.
And they certainly are.
Let's face it. If you're Atlanta, and the only thing standing between you and the last wild card in this potential
is the 3-11 Panthers.
It's like Carolina. And you lose, you don't deserve to go anywhere.
100% precise.
But
so
the winning out is actually not crazy on paper. Now, if you see how they've played, where they haven't thrown a touchdown
pass, wouldn't pick them to do any of that.
Right. Yeah. Cousins is struggled. Their offense has not been the same. That is, you know, not a game I don't think that anybody – coming up with Atlanta and Washington, I mean, is going to be favoring the Falcons in, mm-hmm. but it'll be a competitive football game for sure. The other game tonight, 4-9 Chicago, 11-2 Minnesota, way fewer ramifications for the Commanders. The Bears have been eliminated from the playoffs. The Vikings are not being caught in terms of being the first wild card, but the old Monday Night Football double dip. Let's get to Don't Forget About, and we'll say our goodbyes from New Orleans, our final show on this trip before we head to the airport. Taking you up to 6:30. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.